Welcome to the season two premiere of No Notes, the show with no notes, no research, just guys talking, Jerry Bailey. Joined by my dear friend from Fightful.com, Jeremy Lambert, who's been, I wouldn't say badgering me, but hinting like, hey, when the hell are we going to do this? Because we wanted to do it for a minute, but football's owned my life for the past few months. So I'm glad that we're able to do it. What's up, buddy?
Badgering? It's definitely not badgering. You were the one who said I would be a guest on this show when the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. And of course, me in my pessimistic state, I never thought it would happen. But I mean, here we are, Jared Bailey, the 2022 Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche.
They did indeed do that. And they're, you know, I'm not going to consider myself a hockey expert, but I know enough to know that Cale Makar can have my children if he would want
the young
to. He's fantastic. And Gabe Landeskog and Nate MacKinnon are just loaded, that team was, and brought back most of their core from last year. So I was very happy for you when they won.
A lot of people were, which was just weird, but like fun, like cool. Like I was very pessimistic. If you saw me on my show, FMC, where we don't talk about wrestling on a wrestling channel, I never believed in the team because being a sports fan all these years, it's just heartbreak, right, Jared? Like what's the latest like championship you've been able to celebrate as a sports fan?
I grew up a Penguin fan, so I got two of them in like the mid 2010s, like the 16-17 teams that both won. So that was pretty cool. Then after that, like my hockey diehardism kind of like fell off a little bit just because football became like the more focus for me, but I'm still a fan. I still enjoy it. But yeah, like high school me, I was very into hockey, so it was cool to see those. And, they won in 2009 too, but I was only in like third or fourth grade.
Okay, but like, so I'm asking, I'm going to interview you now, Jared Bailey, the latest just overall sports championship. Like, I know you're a Steelers fan as well. So was that like, was the Penguins Cup like the last one you've been able to?
Yeah, that would have
been
the last one.
Okay. I didn't know if another team you rooted for had won a championship since then.
No. So in high school, well, growing up in like through elementary school and high school, I was a big Bulls fan. And so like when I was young, they weren't all that good. Like they had, what was the Bulls team? It was like Ben Gordon, Andreas Nocioni, Ben Wallace was there for a minute. And then they drafted Joakim Noah, and I got so excited because I was a big Joakim Noah fan. Cause I watched him like the Final Four that year and he was awesome. And then they got Derrick Rose the year after, and Derrick Rose became like my favorite athlete of all time throughout that. So it was a fun little stretch there, but yeah. Oh, like 06 Bulls, like Kirk Heinrich and the boys. Yeah. Those were fun years.
See, I always forget that you are a baby still. And you're like, oh, growing up, I was a Bulls fan. It's like, oh, so you just Jordan. That's what I'm thinking, because growing up, I was a Bulls fan as well. And it's like, yeah, I just rooted for Michael Jordan. And that became just everything when it came to basketball. When he left, I was like, oh, okay, basketball, not that fun anymore. But yeah, you're like, yeah, growing up a Bulls fan, Kirk Heinrich and Ben Gordon era Bulls very much trips me out that I don't think of you as young as you are, because I feel like everybody in our, I don't want to say group, but everybody just in the wrestling media space almost is like 30. Like they're all just 30 to 39. That's everybody's age.
So my mom was the one who got me into basketball because she was really into basketball in high school. My mom was a baller in high school. Let me tell you that. At the time, I don't know if this is still true, but she was the only male or female to have a triple double in her high school's history. So my mom could ball.
Wow.
And she got pregnant with me young. She was just a year out of high school and she got pregnant with me. So whenever she would like have to like work or anything like that, she would tape Bulls playoff games like on old VHS tapes, whenever she kept them all. So like when I was like really young, I would just watch the hell out of those over and over again. And it got to a point where like I could name every member of the Bulls roster from like 1997 to 1998, every member, because they played the Jazz in back-to-back finals. So like, yeah. I knew, I was like a big Jeff Hornacek fan for the longest time. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? He's great. So yeah, that's how I kind of got into it. And then, yeah, started watching the Bulls around that time. And I was like a confused like first grader. I'm like, well, where the fuck's Luke Longley? He's not out there. This is bullshit. So yeah, that's how the basketball fandom started. It's died off recently though. Like I just, not that I can't keep up with it. I probably could if I wanted to, but basketball anymore to me is, it's just not, not into it. I know that you are.
Yeah. So when we have our like basketball discussions and stuff, like, yeah, don't keep up with it anymore. Don't watch it. And I don't even think like, you don't even have a team. Do you, or do you?
I follow like the Bulls social media stuff and I try to keep up to see how they're doing. Like I like Zach LaVine a lot. I think he's really good. I just find that the game is just so, you can, if you watch one game, you've watched them all. And look, you can, everybody can like what they like. I'm not shitting on people who like basketball. It's just Steph Curry, the human being, is a lovely guy, I'm sure. I hate him a little bit for just making the game into either, all right, you're either going to dunk it or you're going to shoot a three. That's the NBA now. Good luck.
Wow.
That's look what it this. Is, Jeremy. There's no mid-range.
You were in your 20s and you were doing the back in my day.
You're right. I'm the old man yelling at clouds in my early 20s because I miss when the mid-range mattered. Dwight Howard guys like him don't succeed in today's NBA because the true center isn't a thing anymore. Thanks, Steph Curry.
I mean, Jokic and Embiid are, I guess they're taking threes, but you know, they have a post-up game. Yeah, they have a little bit of a post-up game. Dwight Howard's in China shooting threes. Bless him. Bless that man. He should be on a roster. He legitimately should be on a roster. Like, he's better than some of these centers and stuff that they're trotting out there. He's much better.
And plus, like, there's just a lot of guys I don't like. Like, I don't like watching, or like, they're like Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving can go fuck himself. But James Harden, like, when he started taking like two steps and shooting fadeaway threes and it was never getting that should annoy me. Call traveling NBA. I know I sound like an old man. I know.
Do you follow this account? I gotta make sure I give it its proper due. And if you don't, I will tweet it to you. It's so hilarious though. Yeah. Oh man, I'm going to just spend time like looking it up and then that's going to be, you know what? I actually texted it to my friend the other day. So, okay. It's In the Lab on Twitter. I don't think that's the actual at. The at is Devin in the Lab. Dev in the Lab. I'll DM you this right now. So this dude calls himself the number one social media snitch ref. And what he does is he takes these highlights of like carries and double dribbles and like pivoting and everything and like any type of like traveling, just like everything. And he is just like carry. And then he like points it out like this every time fantastic. Just a player like travels and stuff. It's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. The one his I sent you is Carmelo Ball, tweet. But he's done this.
His pinned tweet is Morant has to be stopped. Pure basketball has vanished from the earth, and I'm snitching on everyone. And it's got like 165,000 likes.
Dude, it's got 9.4 million. I'll follow this. Yeah, this is funny. Dude, it's hilarious. So yeah, the one I sent you was LaMelo. He's done like Ja Morant. He's done like Giannis. He's done like a bunch of different people. But it is, this dude's so funny. Oh, that's who you remind me of. Like, oh, call a travel and everything.
Yeah, like, I feel like this guy and I would be very good friends because that's it's so annoying. Like, if it's not going to be called, why even have it in the goddamn rule book? It's like, pissing me off.
I mean, sure, they started calling it a little bit more lately. Like, I do feel like they've started to call it more this year.
Not enough.
They're trying.
Not enough.
I mean, fair. Not enough. They're trying.
Yeah, that's just. Why are you still a basketball hater? I just told you why I'm a basketball hater. we just spent 10 minutes on it. But
so
I mean,
your love of football, Jared. Tell me about your love of football again. I'm just gonna interview you.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is like a fun little reverse. My love of football. How did that start? I mean, my dad liked it a lot, so him and I always bonded over that. I think for like, I've always wanted to do like just this was in a sports talking format where I can just be like, all right, I want to write about football. I want to talk about, it used to be all sports. Like, I think that's why I was so into everything, just because like, okay, if I want to do this, I've got to be knowledgeable on everything. You know, my 9-year-old mind not understanding, no, you can like just focus on one sport. It doesn't have to be, you know, everything under the sun. And once I realized that, you know, football was just kind of the thing that I cared about more than anything, that's just where the focus went. But yeah, I mean, we, something that my father and I always shared. He had like all these like NFL films, VHSs. Apparently my love of sports always just comes back to VHSs. and I would watch those a lot, and it was just from, you know, like old 80s stuff, old 90s stuff. So I don't know, becoming like a little historian when I was young really helped, and just falling in love with the history of the game and watching, you know, Barry Sanders run all over people. And yeah, I don't know, it's just always been football, and I've always just tried to educate myself on where the game's been so we can know where it's going and understand why people today are so great compared to, you know, those from the day before. So it's always been football for me. It's always been what I've wanted to do. There's never been a plan B. There's not gonna be a plan B. So
sometimes plan B's good, Jared.
I know, trust me, Jeremy. I know. I know. I was in college. I know. So yeah, it's just always been the thing that I've just adored, and I'm always going to adore it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like around this time of year where, you know, I mean, I write for a bunch of different outlets, not to pat myself on my own back, but like I try to do as much as I can, and it does get exhausting. Like it does get to a point where like, I don't want to, you know, watch film and do a film piece, but I know that it'll get, you know, it'll do well. People will watch it. People will enjoy it, and it'll help me do well. but yeah, it's always been the thing that I've wanted to, it's always been the thing I've wanted to do. And I don't think there's ever been a plan B.
So I find you, I'm going to put you over, find you very knowledgeable when it comes to football. So there's obviously like different levels of stuff that, of how you can like cover sports, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can be a very casual, just give an opinion, a hot take kind of thing. Like I used to write about basketball all the time for Fansided, actually. I used to write about the Thunder and everything. And I was not a person who was like, I'm going to watch film and break it down and like, look at this play and see how they switch this defense and see how they countered this move and everything. I was very much, as I'm sure people might figure out, just like, hey, let me put Russell Westbrook on a shot count because he's taking too many bad shots. Like these are my ideas for things. I'm coming up with like gimmicky sort of stuff. And like, you can do that there. I think there's a space for that kind of stuff.
There certainly is. But yeah.
I actually like and enjoy the people who like do the game film breakdowns and stuff, because that's not my expertise. And that's something like I'm trying to do in wrestling, because I don't think there is enough of that in wrestling. People just want to be like, oh, great match, you know, 5 stars, whatever. It's like, okay, well, but why was it 5 stars? Or like, what is the sports aspect of this? Of like, what adjustments were made? What changed? Like looking at it from a sports perspective like that in professional wrestling. But I appreciate the people who cover real sports and do like the game film breakdowns, because I learned something, because that's not my expertise. So yes, I find you very knowledgeable, and I did not expect that when I first started following you and talking to you. And that's not like a knock on, I'm not trying to be like mean, it's not like a knock on you. It is just very much of like, I get in my own head of like, oh, everyone just kind of sees things the way I see them. Mm. And you realize like there's just different levels to it of like, no, people are way more digging deep into this stuff than you are, and like they just have a bigger passion for it than you and want to do different stuff than you. And I imagine people look at me and it's like, oh yeah, he sees wrestling a little bit different than I. So like when I started following you, I didn't know much about you. I was like, oh, he's a casual football fan or whatever. And then once I started reading your work and seeing the stuff he does, like, oh no, he actually like cares and is really deep into this and does good shit. So you have made me a little bit more knowledgeable when it comes to football. A little, bit, not much.
I appreciate that, buddy. Sincerely, I do. And a lot of that comes with like, I mean, that's been over the past few years in terms of like understanding how, and I'm, by the way, by no means am I perfect when it comes to that. I'm still trying to learn and get better in terms of like the terminology and understanding how things break down. So It is a learning process, and it's a lot of, you know, wanting, you have to want to do it, and I want to do it. So no, I appreciate you saying that. It does mean a lot. I, by the way, I would watch the hell out of anything that you would do, like doing that from a wrestling perspective. I think that would kick ass.
I did it with CM Punk. I did his entire AEW run. Like looking at the matches and
is that on Fightful?
It's on Fightful Overbooked. Yeah.
Oh,
it's on,
beautiful. It's on Overbooked. Yeah. I will absolutely watch that.
Go. Everybody can watch that. It's looking at like all of his matches and like game plan adjustments, like what he made match to match. And I try to, again, give it a sports twist of like, this was his mindset. Like this was said beforehand, and try to give it like the backstory is obviously there because you watch it on the television shows and it's like, well, this is why they dislike each other, but right. Give it an in-ring backstory of like, oh, well, he did this counter because he's focusing on this body part type of thing. Like tell the match story that maybe people just don't understand, or maybe they do understand, but they want a little bit more depth to it. And so that's what I try to do. It's fun. It can be like you said, I mean, I've never watched like game film to break it down, but it can be like challenging and time consuming. And sometimes like not even the most rewarding because you're doing all this and it takes like, you know, hours to do, and then it ends up being just like a 5-minute video or something. And it's like, I just spent like 3 hours breaking this whole thing down, writing about it, doing a voiceover for it and everything. And then it's like a 5-minute video. And it's like, oh man, like, was this worth it? But then if you enjoy doing it, like, I feel like in the end, it kind of is worth it.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that aspect of it. Like, I've done a lot of Justin Fields ones for the Bears Wire for USA Today. They always seem to do well. That's why I keep doing them, because people care about him and want to see if he's getting better. But there have been some where, like, I'll make a video and it won't do as well. And it's like, well, what the fuck was the point of that? You know, like, yeah. I'm just thinking if I should do it again. So, I don't know. Content creating, man, it's a fucking hard.
It is. And, like, That really goes to like anything, like you said, of like, all right, we're doing this video, we're putting hours into it, and it's like, all right, it's got like 50 views, and it's like, oh, was this like even worth it? Like, was this worth all the time and the effort? And what I've learned over the years, because I think people look at me as, you know, I'm with Fightful, we're a pretty big wrestling website, I think, and people look at me of like, oh, look at Jeremy, he's at this big spot, like he's lucky or something. And it's like, I've been writing about wrestling since like 2006. Like I've been doing this for a while. This isn't just something like, oh yeah, I lucked into this great spot with Fightful because I knew Sean Ross Sapp or something like that. It's legitimate. Like I have been just grinding for no money for years because I just really enjoyed wrestling or MMA or just any sport that I could just find something to write about at some point of something that like struck me. And then finally I got to a point where it's like, hey, I'm making good money. I think Sean was on your show and said, I have like, you know, a golden scooter or some shit.
The golden golf cart. Yeah.
Yeah. Golden golf cart. That's what he said. you know, I'm making like a good living off of it, and I can kind of, I have freedom to sort of do what I want. He put a lot of trust in me, but it's like what they don't see is, and especially because I was writing before like social media was like the biggest thing in the world. Like what they don't see was the years before where I'm just like, yeah, I'm just submitting like 1,000-word articles for like nothing. And you know, it's a lot of time and it's a lot of effort. And if I think the people who maybe didn't come up on that don't have that all the time. So I actually also appreciate that you were young and you've jumped in when social media is the peak everything right now. And it's very easy to get into just content creation. And yes, there is a very much of like, well, everybody's in it, so you have to find your own lane. But you jumping in now, you've been able to just, you've found your own spot with that. And like, that's admirable with this stuff.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you saying that, you know, the whole luck thing associated with that. I saw Denise say something about that not that long ago either. And I think that you both said it really well. She is the best.
She's the best.
But yeah, like it's still not, you know, I've developed a, you know, decent following on Twitter and different social medias, and I'm trying to keep growing. But I think when people see that, they think that like, oh, he's got a decent amount of followers, therefore he must, like, this isn't a full-time thing for me yet. Like, I'm trying to make it that, and I'm going to keep trying to make it that. And I'm starting, you know, over the past few years, I've started to make, you know, more off of it because I've grown, but you know, it's still, it's a constant grind. It's a constant hard. And when the day comes that, you know, I can make it like my complete full-time life, that'll be great. And I'm very much looking forward to the day that that happens. But even like today, or like, you know, I'll go to the Senior Bowl next month, and then in March I'll be at the Combine. And then, you know, some people will see that and be like, oh man, he's so lucky. There ain't no luck involved with this. This is, I fucking earned this, you know? Yeah. And yeah, still not where I want to be, but 1% better every day. And that's all that we can try to do. So
I have legitimately like absolute full faith that you'll get like where you want to be. I don't know what you want to do like fully. I mean, you tell me. Like, I don't know who you want to write for, what you want to do, where, if you want to be a commentator, whatever it is, but like whatever it is, I have like full faith that you will get there, because I've seen your work ethic. I've seen how much you put into stuff, and people like you just become very just like undeniable when it comes to this stuff, because the toughest part of this job a lot of times, especially when you're not making that much money, or you're not getting the views that you want to get, or you're not getting the feedback or whatever it might be that you want to get, is like to continue to go with it. Like, that's legitimately the toughest part. And you've continued to go with it, and you've continued to grow. And even on like the hard days where it's like, oh well, this might have flopped, or this didn't do what I wanted to do. It's like I guess like reminisce on them. You can like be down about it a little bit, but then like tomorrow is just a new day, and it's like, all right, well, what can I create today that I can be proud of? I do think at the end of the day, a lot of times, like if you're proud of what you do, even if maybe it doesn't do 3 million views or whatever, like being proud of something is a big part of this, because when you stop being proud of the work, then that's when you're probably just going to quit altogether.
Well, if you're just tuning in, welcome to Jeremy Puts Jarrett Over on you. But no, I do appreciate that. And, you know, there are days like that. And I will say this about, you know, the whole content creation umbrella, as much of a pain in the ass as it is to have to go through all of that, it definitely weeds out the people that don't want it as much. So,
yeah, 100% is, yeah, if they can't stick with it and they don't have, I'm very, very big on work ethic. Like, that is like the biggest thing to me. And I understand we all have days. I've legitimately had two days this week. I don't know when this is going to drop, but from when we're recording this, I've had 2 days this week where I'm just like, I do not feel work today. I just don't. I'm kind of exhausted. I'm just kind of burnt out. There's been other stuff going on. I'm just sort of over it. But then the next day it's like, all right, well, now I'm gonna do 50 posts and no one's gonna put out the kind of quality content, or quality and quantity content. When with news, it's a little bit of both. But no one's gonna put out the content that I'm gonna put out today. And like, I'm just very big on work ethic, because work ethic is going to get you almost everywhere in this, because there's no lack of opportunities. And I think people maybe see of like, oh well, you know, I didn't get this spot, this person got this spot over me. And it's like, because of the way social media is, and just the internet is, like, you can kind of just create your own spot with some of this. Like, yes, it is nice to latch on to a website who might pay you or who can boost your profile a little bit, but you can start your own YouTube channel. You can start your own blog and do all of this. And it's very difficult to get it out there and everything. But if you do try your best to get it out there and you stick with it and you produce good work and everything, like, at some point it'll start to catch on for you. And it might take a while. Yeah, it took me forever. I started in 2006, maybe even 2005. I got on with Fightful at 2018. This became a livable full-time thing for me basically in like 2021, maybe 2022. So that's how long it took me to get to this spot. I hope it doesn't take anybody else that long, but it does take time.
That's when for those who don't know, it was probably last April that you and I like started. Yeah, because we did the fantasy draft last April-ish, last May.
Right.
of 2021. So that's when you and I became kind of buddies. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The jerk Louis Dangor, who no one should follow on Twitter.
By the way, is in the playoffs in our fantasy football league.
We're not talking about the fantasy football league because you have completely screwed me over. And I mean, we can talk about it if you would like to once again own up to your mistakes.
I have owned up to it. And Tempest backed me up on it when I said, hey, I set the draft order. Yahoo just decided to say no. And Tempest is like, yeah, that happens on here sometimes. I'm like, I see. I'm not a liar. And,
I don't believe you are a liar. So to set the record straight, I don't believe, though, for those who don't know, first off, is I was told I had the first pick in the draft.
Yes, I did. Then, I did the drawing for our fantasy football league before the season to decide the draft order. Jeremy won the drawing. Like, it was just like a random wheel generator thing to see what the draft order would be. Jeremy was the number one pick, to which I said it that. And yes. You know what the order was, and then the draft came around, and I can't remember who did have the first pick, but it wasn't Jeremy, and I heard about it.
It definitely was not me. But the thing is like, okay, you said the draft order, and everybody is like, oh, okay, cool. And then people got switched because the draft order clearly didn't take. But I went from 1 to 12 in a 12-team league, which means my whole game was completely blown up.
Yeah, it was. And I'm sorry. By the way, that whole thing, that whole draft, like, because we did like some sort of like, we just like hopped in on like a Zoom call or whatever just to talk while we drafted.
Yeah.
And fucking Sean is texting 2 minutes before the draft. How the shit do I get in this fucking thing? He was just like frustrated because he couldn't figure out how Yahoo worked. And there,
Sean doesn't know how anything works.
That was just a whole day. But I mean, me and the Jimmy Wang Yangs finished 11-2 on the year. By the way, my only both my losses came to SP3. He beat me both times I played him.
SP3 is on FMC every week bragging about his fantasy football team and how great he's doing and everything. Like, great, cool, good for you, SP3. Can't stand it. Absolutely can't stand it.
I'm gonna bring up the league matchups for playoffs this week. So it is Romeo against Louis in the first playoff game.
Romeo wins.
And then it is Ben Raven and SP3 in the other main playoff game. Who's Yippee-Ki-Yay Justin Tucker in our league?
I have no idea.
I'm looking right now because I honestly don't know.
You should be able to access this information, Jerry Bailey.
Yes, 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 I know. Rob Wilkins is Yippee-Ki-Yay Justin Tucker.
Oh, okay.
So he's
that who you're playing?
No, him and I both have byes.
Oh, okay. Right.
So the lowest winning seed will face me. The highest winning seed will face him.
Gotcha. I hope you play SP3, and I hope you don't Chiefs against the Bengals it. That's what I hope happens. I hope you do not lose for a third straight time to SP3.
I also hope that that would be good, especially because that just means I get to keep everybody's money. which will be nice. Let me look at the final standings. Where did you finish? You finished
probably
5-8.
Last.
You and Sean both finished 5-8, which is tied for last. But Sean had more points than you, so he finished ahead of you in the standings.
See, everybody cared but me after the draft. And this is my flaw when it comes to fantasy sports and why I don't play them unless my friends just are like, hey, want to be in my league? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I love the draft aspect of it.
I mean, that's the best part of it.
Yeah. After that, I don't keep up with it. Like, I'm pretty sure most of the time I was playing with guys who were on the IR and everything. Like, I didn't set my lineup most weeks. I forgot it existed most weeks. Like, I just stopped keeping up with it. And that's why I don't play in a lot of them, because it's like, I'll draft, but after that, like, you're just going to get easy victories. Like, if you want an unserious player, cool, I'll be part of it. But otherwise, like, I'm not really useful outside of the draft.
Tempest started off really hot, but he finished 6-7, which surprised me because he was doing really well. And then Louis, who's never watched a football game in his life, finished 4th in the league and is in the playoffs, which is just hysterical.
We tried to get him to draft Gronkowski, and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, does anybody, any sort of football player that was associated with WWE was like, yeah, take Gronk.
Yeah. He wouldn't do it, though, which is sad. He should have just done it for the bit. But bless Louis actually like doing well in that. And this is why fantasy football and fantasy sports in general are stupid, because Louis Dangor, who can't name you anybody on any, he probably can't even name a team, is somehow in the playoffs. This is why it's dumb.
It's funny. Okay.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious.
If he wins the entire thing, I'll be kind of pissed, because I don't know the conversion rate from dollars to pounds, but I'll have to figure that out. Oh, that's funny.
I kind of hope he wins the entire thing just for the bit. It's just the once again show, the fantasy sports. It's complete luck. You know, you try to, there's a lot of injury luck involved, obviously. Sometimes it's team luck as well. Yeah. Like just complete luck involved. And the playoffs is even worse, because, you know, teams are going to rest guys and everything. So you never know how that's going to play out.
That's true. That's very true. Fantasy sports.
Absolutely.
I had something else to ask you, and I can't remember what it was. I tweeted a few days ago that I've come to realize about myself, and I don't know if you're the same way. I'm a pretty mellow person. Like, I'm not like ever like super duper angry. But there are so many things that annoy me, just like little things that piss me off. And I tweeted something like, if I ever have a like 1 hour stand-up special, it would be called Easily Annoyed. And I would just talk about all the things that piss me off, because there are so many. There are so many things. Like, what happened yesterday? Oh, my dog was, he came in and he's kept like making licking noises. And I just looked at him like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it's just, like little shit like that just irks me. Do you have like things that are stupid that irritate you?
So probably, but as I've gotten married and I've been around kids do a lot of little annoying things, and you have to just kind of grow to accept it and be patient with a lot of that stuff. And sometimes it'll just get to the point of like, all right, you got to stop this. But other times, just like, get it out, like do whatever you're doing, and then they'll quickly like move on and whatever. So I think if you would ask me this question like a year ago, I probably would have had like a bunch of answers of like, yes, this just annoys the shit out of me. I can't stand it. But now, as I've been around kids longer, it's just like, oh, okay. I'm not super annoyed by a lot of little things.
Okay, there's another one. Because like, how, like when the World Cup rolls around, all of a sudden everybody in America pretends to give a shit about soccer. And I tweet,
you're
like,
just being a dick right now, Jimmy.
Oh, dude, it was, oh, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm letting all of this out. The Netherlands were beating America by like 3 goals. I was like, oh no, the country that gives a shit about soccer is beating the country that doesn't give a shit about soccer. Who would have guessed that that would have happened? And dude, there was a few people that were like, shut the fuck up. Like, they came for me. I'm like, am I wrong? Nope. Sure I'm not. See, and then guess what? Hey, look, everybody has, I'm not saying everybody stopped talking about soccer. There's been a severe decrease of talk about soccer since USA lost. And what did you know about that? Once America got eliminated, once there was no chance for America to bring home the World Cup, as if there ever was a chance, everybody stopped giving a shit about soccer. And then it's going to stay that way for another 3.5 years until the World Cup rolls around again. And everybody's like, oh shit, America in the soccer game. And then they're going to lose again to Argentina. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, see it again in 4 years. I just don't like when people pretend to give a shit about something when they know that they don't.
See, this is where I don't get annoyed by that stuff. I see it and I'm just like, whatever, like what you like, enjoy it for the time being.
That's the thing, Jimmy, they don't like it. They don't.
They're enjoying it in the moment, Jared. Like, they might not like it at the time, or, you know, full on. And it's like, hey, let me stick with this. But like, they're enjoying the soccer in the moment.
Maybe I'm just cynical.
I think that's a big part of it is, yes, you are just cynical. And so you're just like, oh, I can't stand this. Why are these people being happy and enjoying something? Again, why are you just being a dick, Jared?
Maybe that's it. Maybe this is a problem. I got to focus on myself and figure out what's wrong with me. Why I'm just pissed off. Oh, that's funny. I also said that we need to retire the word blessed.
I saw that. I saw that you said we need to retire the word blessed.
That was a lot of that comes from the fact that, like, in the football world, like, you'll see guys who tweet out, like, if they get, like, an offer, which, by the way, is awesome. If you get a scholarship offer, fuck yeah. Good job. You earned it. However, I'm tired of seeing the blessed to receive a scholarship offer from insert name of school here. Or when they decommit from a school, they're like, after a long, hard conversation with my parents and coaches, I've decided to decommit from insert name of school here. It's all the fucking same when they announce it. Be unique. Be different. I hate the word blessed.
Do you hate Max Holloway?
You know what? Sean was a dick when he saw that tweet and quoted it with saying something about Max Holloway.
That was my first thought. I did not see Sean's tweet, by the way. Sean and I are oftentimes on same wavelength. But yeah, that was my first thought when you said retire the word blessed, and I was going to tweet at you, do you hate Max Holloway? But a lot of times I see tweets and I just move on.
Or maybe it wasn't Max Holloway. He had put out a story on Fightful about somebody getting a WWE try. It might have been like Casey Navarro or something. And they
it was Casey Navarro. They said they were blessed to receive the offer.
I was like, you son of a bitch.
Yes, I did see the Casey Navarro tweet. So that is who he was talking about. But I'm now calling you out on the Max Holloway.
But yeah, no, nobody had said anything to me about Max Holloway.
Well, I'm now saying it because Max Holloway is one of the best fighters ever. He absolutely rules, and you're now being a hater on Max Holloway.
Who is he, by the way?
He's a featherweight. He fights in the UFC. He's a former featherweight champion. He's beaten Jose Aldo a couple times. How are you into MMA, or are you into MMA? Like, how?
No,
much
I can't stand it. I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, then,
but I appreciate that you like it.
I used to, that's like what I used to cover. That's how I got started Fightful is through MMA. Yeah. And then I hated it because Sean and I said this all the time. Like, if you enjoy MMA, like, don't cover it because you'll just completely hate it. Especially like, unless if you're covering it on a high level, sure. But like, it's staying up until like 3 a.m. for these press conferences. I guess I do that now with AEW.
Yeah.
But it's just, you just start to lose, and there's so many fights. There's so many fighters. You can't keep track of all this stuff. Max Holloway's if you like just like action packed fights, like, I think you would like him.
When did I do this? This is another thing I've tweeted about. This isn't recent. This is like a couple years ago. I can't remember exactly what I said, but yeah, I'm not a big UFC guy or MMA guy. It's just, I don't know.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's never really piqued my interest. I used to play the games on like Xbox. Those are fun. I enjoy playing the video games. But yeah, I just feel, I don't know. Like, most of these dudes just seem like ginormous dicks, and I just don't feel like supporting them. Like, everybody, like, anytime that Conor McGregor says anything, everybody like comes in unison. And I'm just like, he's probably not that good of a dude. Like, he just seems like a prick. And
I mean, he is.
My point exactly. Yeah. So, or even, and like when the Mayweather fight was happening, like, Floyd Mayweather is the biggest prick on the face of this planet, and everybody's just foaming at the mouth to watch those two dickheads fight. I was like, yeah, not for me. Yeah, granted, I cover a sport where there's a bunch of those two, but you know, I'm also very keen on pointing that out. So, by the way, Browns fans hate me.
What'd you do to Browns fans? The wife is a Browns
fan. Tweeted a picture of Deshaun Watson last week before the game, and I said, we're all Texans fans today.
And oh, I saw you got some flack from that and stuff because
I'm a Steelers fan.
Because you were advocating for the Steelers to like get Watson before everything came out. Yeah. It was before everything came out. I saw all that.
Yeah, and then I tweeted it. I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, after everything came out, I very aggressively said, yeah, I probably shouldn't have advocated for Deshaun Watson to be traded to Pittsburgh. So, that was an annoying little thing.
See, the wife is a Browns fan, longtime suffering Browns fan. And but this year she hasn't watched like at all because of the Watson stuff. She's like, nah, I'm not really going to like support this team. I don't really care if they win or lose. I'm just not going to support it. And like the Panthers were in on Deshaun Watson, and I was like very happy that they didn't get him. And I'm like, I don't want to have to like make this choice of rooting for the team but hating the quarterback because of everything. And the choice would have been like, yeah, I'm just not going to like watch games or support or anything. Yeah. But like, I didn't want to even have to be like put in that position of, oh man, I really like football. I really like supporting the Panthers and everything, but like, I can't support this. I just can't.
Yeah. And like at the time, whenever everything was coming down, like it was right after they had said like, yeah, no charges going to be pressed on Deshaun. Like I was like, all right. You know, I hadn't really read any reports or anything like that. All I'd saw was, okay, cleared of all charges. Pittsburgh should go get him because he's good at football. And then, you know, you read the accounts of one of the victims who says that, you know, some of the things that he allegedly did. It was just like, yeah, I felt like a piece of shit afterwards. It's like, wow, I really advocated for him to be, you know, on the team that I support, and was wholeheartedly like, yes, go get that guy. Like when looking at it in, you know, the 2020 vision, I was just, oh man, I felt like a dick. And I still do. Like looking back, I was like, I should have been more knowledgeable. I should have, you know, looked into this more rather than he's good at football, therefore I want him on my favorite team. And I didn't, and you know, learning experience, but yeah, I felt like a dick for that.
At least your team didn't get him, like, you know, but he shouldn't be in the league. Honestly, there's a lot of guys who probably shouldn't be in the league, but he shouldn't be in the league.
I did a long piece about the entire like investigation, why the NFL wasn't able to do certain things in terms of punishment because of how they could have been countersued or what the NFLPA could have done. It was long. It was extensive. It wasn't, I shouldn't say it wasn't, like, I'm proud of the piece, but a lot of the shit that I had to read for that dude, yeah, it wasn't fun. So
it's very much like when, you know, cover wrestling news, there's a lot of wrestlers get into some legal trouble. Like having to read through a lot of the lawyer stuff. I don't even know the correct term for it now, but like having to like read through that, and I don't even cover it on like this super deep level because I'm just not knowledgeable enough about that. But like, I got to write like a news piece about it, so I got to understand it a little bit. And luckily my friend's a lawyer and I can kind of send him stuff and just be like, the fuck does this mean? Like, please just tell me how to like make this readable for a casual person. But that's like the worst part of the job, is like having to cover any type of legal stuff. Yeah. When it comes to, I feel like any sport, because you know, you're a football fan, you just want to like kind of cover football. I'm a wrestling fan, I just want to like kind of cover wrestling, and I do like covering the drama and all the shit that goes around it, but like I don't like covering real drama of especially assault cases. Yeah. And everything. Like, yeah. I don't know how much you were around following stuff when speaking out happened in wrestling.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys that were was Marty Scurll was one of them, wasn't it? He got, yes, kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like when all of that happened, I was the person covering all of that. And like, that was probably that was just a terrible weekend. Nothing compared to what the victims went through and everything that happened. But like, as someone just covering it, it was just a terrible weekend on many different levels. And for me personally, like having to cover, I was just like, this sucks. I don't want to do any of this. Like, I don't want to cover wrestling at all. All these people seem terrible. And now like I write a story and somebody reaches out about this thing of like, well, this was said, that was said. It was very tough. And I can't imagine like actual like people who like dive deep into the cases like this and how they have to cover it, because you got to be very careful with this stuff. And I don't think I was being very careful, like it can be tough. Like you just kind of want to repeat. Sorry, let me get my words correct here. It's easy to be very careful because all you want to do is just write the story as is, right? Like, don't put words in people's mouth, just allegations, report. This person said, that person said the thing. Like if you do a misword on something, they'll call you out on this and just act like it's the worst. You're the worst person in the world. It's like, I don't want to cover this stuff in the first place, and look at the shit we're talking about.
Yeah, it's luckily I haven't had to do much of that, but like with the Watson thing, the place that I was freelancing for at the time, 3013, they're like, hey, you know, we want you to do this. Would you want to do it? And I said, yes. And like, I mean, like I said, it turned out to be something like a piece I was proud to be able to do. I think it was really well done. And it took a lot of, you know, looking into certain things. I had to get on the phone. Like they provided me, I think he was a lawyer associated with the NFLPA. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember exactly whom he worked for. But yeah, he talked me through. He was an expert on the CBA as to why like the NFL couldn't do certain things in terms of punishment for Deshaun Watson. So Like if I had a question, I'd be like, okay, why can't they do this? He would be like, oh, well, they can't do this because yada yada, and you know, the NFLPA could do this. So yeah, I'm very glad that I had him as a resource for all that legal stuff, because I would have been absolutely lost. It would have been, but yeah, no, it's not fun to write about. It's important to write about, but it's, yeah. Let's get lighter, Jeremy.
Yes, can we lighter? Sorry, I'm gonna get canceled after all this stuff.
You talked about our group. I feel even weird saying our group, because it's more your group, and I'm just, you know, I'm there. You know,
a group.
Oh yes, you do. We do. Yes, we do. There's definitely a group, and okay, it's a lovely group of people, and I'm very happy to be associated with said group. And like a year and a half ago, like I was aware of some of them. They weren't really aware of me. And now a year and a half later, you know, I'm glad that, I mean, through your friendship and, you know, stuff with Louie and Sean, and it's just been, I don't know, you've accepted, you know, a little goofy football writer into your wrestling world. And it means a lot to me. So I appreciate it.
I mean, you're welcome. You're the one who, you reached out to me and was like, hey, do you want to do like this draft thing with Louie Dangor? And I was like, I don't shit with Louie Dangor, but sure. Like I like drafts. So I'm in on this. And like since then, like I thought you were cool on the stream, and we've just bantered about since then. And you know, I wanted you when we reviewed the Rumble, right? That's the show.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, we did review the Rumble together.
Yeah, so Sean asked me like, hey, can you review the Rumble? I think he went to it or he had something. So he asked me like, hey, yeah, can you review the Rumble? I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, you can just get whoever you want to review the Rumble with you. I was like, all right, cool. I was like, I'm going to ask Jarrett because we've gotten on well for a while now. So let me see what he's up to. And you were down to do it. And yeah, I appreciate that you were able to do the Rumble
review. I dressed like Brock Lesnar for it after he won the Royal Rumble in history.
You did. That ruled.
That was
a fun review.
That was a fun review. Yeah. Let's see. I did the Rumble review with you. I did one of the SmackDown and Rampage reviews with Kate at like 2 a.m, which was something. That dude, holy shit. I was exhausted, but that was so much fun. I dressed like MJF for that. And then when we went to an ad break, I came back and I was dressed like Butch. I just went all out for that. Anytime I can do something stupid and fun like that, I do it. So it's been, I've always been into, I shouldn't say always, like 2019, I got into wrestling again, and then I've just been lucky enough to, you know, to have all these cool people who let me do stuff with them. So I'm glad
we are. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how like people feel about wrestling media. I know some people have like a bad rap, and Twitter just in general can just be like a shitty space, I feel like. But if you know how to use it and you stick to kind of like the people you want to talk to, like I feel for the most part, everyone is just kind and accepting and warm and fun. And like, those are the people that I try to be friends with and associate with. And then if they're dicks and they're trolling and stuff, I feel I do a very good job of just like ignoring that stuff, because I got other shit more important going on with my day than to deal with a bunch of like trolls and haters and everything.
So I guess you could consider Sullivan Brown wrestling media, but like my sister really likes the No Rules Barred stuff that like the Wrestle Talk guys do. Mm-hmm. And last year she's still obsessed with Sullivan Brown. So I texted Sully. I was like, hey, my sister adores you. Could you just like send me a video of you like telling her Merry Christmas? 10 minutes later. So I was like, oh yeah. Yeah. And he sends me that. And so, if I had to encapsulate wrestling, my wrestling friends and a story, it's that one, because that was really kind of him to do.
We like Chris Mueller, Doc Chris Mueller.
Oh, I love Chris. Yeah.
He's the nicest person ever. And I hate it because I'm trying to like get him to fight people. But like, you know, he interviews a lot of wrestlers and like he has them give like shout outs to different people. Like it's one of like the best, like nicest things you could possibly do. And kudos to these wrestlers who are like, yeah, sure, I'll give this person like shout out and everything. But like,
I remember when he had FTR on, he had him had them shout out Kylie and Haley, and I know that really meant a lot to them.
Yeah, like Chris is just so nice, just asking these wrestlers to do this, to just shout out people that he's just met on this online space. Chris is the nicest dude. Again, I can't stand it because I try to pit everybody against each other. That's my gimmick. I'm trying to get everybody to just throw each other over the top rope. I'm trying to be the last one standing.
By the way, I blame you and SP3 for the fact that a Degrassi clip ended up on my TikTok. Like, what the fuck?
I don't, that, no, absolutely not. I will not take any blame for that because I don't watch Degrassi. I've never watched a single, that is Jensen, that is Steven Jensen and SP3. They watch.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah, I don't know what Degrassi is. I mean, I know what it is, but like, I've never seen a single second of that show. So I take no blame for that.
I know the premise of it. It's just like, you know, a school where apparently just horrible shit always happens.
Right. It's just like a high school drama show, isn't it? Like,
yeah, but like too many, I mean, a lot of kids die on that show for a high school. Like, you'd think that they would have some sort of intervening factor. They would come into Degrassi and be like, all right, we need to do something about this. Eh, goodness. That show like ruled the 2000s. I was a Zoe 101 guy. I don't know what
I watched that. I watched that a little bit. That was like as I was like growing out of that kind of stuff. But
okay,
I watched that. I was into the iCarly. iCarly was like
big. iCarly was good.
The Hannah Montana and things like that. That's what I was watching. SpongeBob. Everyone knows huge.
Oh
SpongeBob.
Yeah, everybody watches SpongeBob. Yeah,
there's some SpongeBob haters, and I don't get it. I don't know how you can hate SpongeBob.
Anybody who pretends to hate on SpongeBob thinks that they have like a doctorate in like being mature. Like, fuck those people.
Yeah, you hear that? SP3 and Steven Jensen with your Degrassi
stuff. SP3 doesn't like SpongeBob?
No, it's terrible.
Oh, I better kick his ass in fantasy then.
Yeah. All right, when you beat him in fantasy, you come on FMC and just brag and say whatever you want. Bury him. Be great.
You guys do that, what, every Saturday?
No, we are on, when the hell is our show? It's Tuesday mornings at 8:30.
Oh, that's when. Which one's the Saturday show? I feel like you do a Saturday show.
I do a Saturday show with Joel. That's newsworthy. I do a show every single day, Jerry.
I mean, I'll come on and bury Joel Pearl anytime you want me to as well.
That's fair too. He sucks. He's terrible. I don't actually like anybody that I work with. I just kind of
seems to be the common thing.
My muffin just. Yeah, fucking empty-headed dumb fucks that I work with just couldn't manage a target.
I'm old, I'm hurt, I'm fucking tired, and I work with fucking children. I did a piece on my newsletter detailing how Aaron Rodgers has turned into CM Punk, and I'm so proud of that. So proud of that. Go read that if you'd like to.
Oh, I have a hot take for you, Jared Bailey. Aaron Rodgers is the most overrated quarterback of all time. That is my hot take.
You know, I've heard a lot of people in the past few months are coming out and being like, you know what? A lot of people are saying similar things to what you're saying.
I was saying it before the season started. Let it be known that I was saying it before he hasn't played that great this season.
I will. Before Patrick Mahomes, he's the most talented quarterback I've ever watched. And people will point to the fact, oh, he's only got one Super Bowl. He's only played in one Super Bowl. A lot of those factors aren't on him. Like, there was an NFC Championship game against Seattle where they were winning comfortably with very little time left in the fourth quarter. The Seahawks scored. Green Bay didn't recover an onside kick. They allowed Seattle to score again. And then they allowed Seattle to score again in overtime. So there was a long stretch of time where Aaron Rodgers didn't get to touch the ball there. Last year, if the 49ers don't block a field goal, he wins and goes to a Super Bowl, more than likely. I think that they beat the Rams in the NFC Championship game if they win that game. So I understand people critiquing him and saying, okay, well, he's had like very little playoff success, especially over the past 5 years. And that's, you know, it's a fair argument to make. But there are a lot of factors that weigh into it in terms of his team around him as well. But yeah, this year, obviously, we're seeing what looks like him fall off a cliff a little bit. But, you know, that's what happens when you don't have a lot of people to throw to. When, you know, when Devontae Adams gets traded to, which, by the way, he knew it was going to happen when he signed on. So I can't defend him too much in that light. I like Aaron Rodgers. I've always liked Aaron Rodgers. I like that he's very honest and kind of a prick sometimes, because especially quarterbacks, you know, athletes are robotic when they answer questions and say what they think that they're supposed to say. He doesn't. He tells you what he thinks. And I appreciate that from an athlete's standpoint, where, you know, we as media, especially, we say, okay, we want our athletes to be organic. But when they are, than to get called out for it. Like, you want them to be organic if they say the things you want them to say. So I've always appreciated Aaron Rodgers, and I've always appreciated when he gets pissed off and is genuine about it. And like I said before, Patrick Mahomes, he's the most talented quarterback I've ever watched. So he might not have, you know, a trillion Super Bowls like Brady. He might not, you know, have, you know, he's only appeared in one Super Bowl. But Drew Brees has only won one Super Bowl as well. He's only appeared in one Super Bowl. Nobody ever shits on Drew Brees the way they shit on Aaron Rodgers, and that's kind of annoying to me. But that's my spiel on Rodgers. I like him. I think he does get, I don't know, I shouldn't say he gets too much hate, because I don't think he gets a lot. But when he does get hate, it is kind of over the top. So that's my take on Aaron Rodgers. I enjoy him.
I actually don't care about Aaron Rodgers' legacy or what he's done. I actually like watching him play is very fun. I just throw out a hot take of he's overrated just to see a response.
Just to stir it.
Yeah. Oh, you've seen my Twitter, Jared. Like, I just throw out these tweets and, you know, people get mad at me, and I'm like, I don't actually, like, this is not my real opinion on this stuff. I'm just trying to, it says in my bio, 95% of tweets are just to pop myself. And that's legitimately what it is. I'm like, ha, I think this is funny. And so I'm just going to tweet it. And then people are like, how could you think that? This is a terrible take. I was like, not a real take. I'm just like being stupid on Twitter. Like,
you know what bothers me about Twitter? And I know you've got to go soon. I don't want to keep you too long. So obviously, like, my, you know, predominant thing on Twitter is football. But every Wednesday and sometimes Friday, you know, I'll tweet about wrestling, you know, when Dynamite's on. And I'll do it throughout the week as well if I see something that I want to talk about. I will lose followers. Like, it's every week. Like, my, like, follower number, if you go by weeks, like, it'll probably go up on Monday, Tuesday, and Sunday, go down Wednesday, and they just stay stagnant where I can't gain followers because people don't like that I talk about wrestling, and it pisses me off.
It's your Twitter. Like, that's how... That's how I feel about it. Like, I don't look at the follower count. I genuinely do not care. I want less followers. If you're following me, please unfollow me. Like, when I was tweeting about, like, hockey during the playoffs and stuff, like, I enjoyed
watching you tweet about hockey.
What's that?
I enjoyed watching you tweet about hockey.
I imagine, like, people, like, unfollowed me. It's like, I'm only here for his dumb wrestling takes and stuff. Like, look, man, I'm way more invested in these NHL playoffs than I am in whatever match, you know, Darby Allin has this week. All right. I don't care. That's what I'm going to tweet about. The Avs won the cup the same night as Forbidden Door. Everybody on,
those are the same nights.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the same night as Forbidden Door. So, like, everybody on my timeline is, of course, like, tweeting about Forbidden Door, and it's like, oh, what a great show and stuff. And I'm just like, can we score a goal? What are we doing here? And then, like, I barely watched Forbidden Door. I went back and rewatched it. Like, I barely watched it live because I'm watching the game and everything. So I didn't care at all about that show that night. And I'm sure people were like, why is Jeremy tweeting about hockey when Forbidden Door is on? I'm going to unfollow him. I'm like, good. Please unfollow me. I don't want you around.
Before I let you go, we have very differing music tastes. And this is how we usually end every show. Sean talked about how he liked Cardi B. Not Cardi B. Doja Cat. My apologies, Sean. And he showed me like this clip of her singing like a metal cover, and I really liked it. You like Taylor Swift?
Yes.
And I am on record on Twitter saying that there isn't a group of people in the world that scare me more than like diehard Taylor Swift fans.
Fair.
Because they scare me, all of them. They're horrifying. And your lovely wife, anytime that she comes across a metal song and is playing it with you, she always tweets it to me, and it makes me very happy, and it makes me laugh, because I can just imagine your reaction. Like, whenever she tweeted at me when American Nightmare by Ace Nine Kills came on, and I was like, oh, that made me so happy. It's my favorite band, Jeremy Lambert.
I know that, but I've never heard this song. I listened to one song that you sent me, and I think I was like, it's fine. Like, I'm never going to listen to it again, but like, it's fine. Didn't hate it completely.
I saw the video of you and Denise dancing to Taylor Swift at your wedding, which I'm so pissed off that I wasn't able to go to because of my ongoing car issues. I did. When I saw that, I was like, you know what? That probably would have been the time I went up to him and was like, you know what, buddy? Congratulations. I'm going to take my leave now. Have a good night.
A Taylor Swift song was our first dance song at the wedding. So
I don't know. Was it? What was the song?
Breathless, which is actually a cover of Better Than Ezra song. So we both love that song. I like the Better Than Ezra version as well. But she conceded that, okay, we can use the Taylor Swift version because it's a little bit slower too. So she conceded that we could use the Taylor Swift version as our first dance song. So it was a little bit of more compromise on her part than mine. I was happy with the song regardless. But I'm gonna bury my wife right quickly before I do have to go. So she'll drive my car sometimes. Like hers is in the shop or just she just wants to drive mine. Mm-hmm. And she listens to her music. And she listens to her music very loudly.
It's got great music.
It's just her in the car. Like, because when we're driving with the kids and stuff, we don't turn the music up too loud. Yeah. But when it's just her, she listens to it very loudly. And then she gets out of the car and she doesn't turn the music down. And then I get in the car and I'm thinking, oh, it's when I will last on, my Bluetooth is going to connect, my great Taylor Swift song is going to play, it'll be fine. And just I get screamed at, Jarrett. Like, I don't know who this music is, but they're just yelling at me very loudly when I get in the car. And I'm just like, oh, my beautiful, perfect wife has just left her music on. And now I'm just getting screamed at and I got to turn it down. And I tell her every time and she apologizes and she's very sweet. And like, it's funny. I'm just like, the music she listens to, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I never will.
Different strokes for different folks, buddy.
Bless her beautiful soul. You would look at her and never imagine this is the kind of music she listens to. But yes, that's the
Do you think I listen to that looking at me?
A little bit. I can see it. Okay. I can see it a little bit. Okay. With her, like, you got to admit, like...
Oh, yeah, no. When I first met your wife, I wouldn't have thought that she was into that.
Yeah, but I'm glad it doesn't look like it at all. Like,
very soft-spoken, very sweet.
Very reserved, too. Like, yeah, she just... I don't know what she sees in me, how she puts up with me, but, yeah, you would not think this is her musical taste at all. But that's fine.
I experienced my first wrestling show with you and her, so that was nice.
You did. You sat next to us. You know, we took your wrestling virginity. You did. It was a fun night.
That was a really good night, too. A lot of good matches. CM Punk versus Dustin opened. I saw Minoru Suzuki showed up unannounced, which was awesome, against QT Marshall on AEW Dark and just beat the piss out of him. It was great.
That was a great show.
All right, buddy. I know you got to go pick up one of your children from basketball. I appreciate you. I'm glad that we did this. We'll do
thank
more stuff in the
me.
Future. Oh, thank you for coming on and just turning this into the show of guests putting over the host. It was awesome. But I love you. I'm very glad to have made your friendship over the past year. And I'm excited to see the stuff that we'll continue doing in terms of the content world. So appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Jarrett. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. I didn't end the recording yet.